You think you have problems? I mean, did you hear what the angel just told me? Me, I'm gonna have a baby. I'm not even married yet. I mean, what are my parents gonna say? I mean, they're not gonna believe me, an angel telling me this. What about Joseph? Oh, now I'm so worried. Oh no. What are other people gonna say? I mean, they stone people for stuff like this. I mean, what am I gonna do? What? Oh no. What are people gonna say? What are my parents gonna have to deal with? Well, as I said, whatever you want, your will, whether it costs me my life, I'll let you accomplish your will in me.
What do you think? What do you think of Mary's story?
Well, it's fantastical at best. Bizarre comes to mind. Outrageous. Oh, what other words can I come up with?
Oh.
But the truth of the matter is, I know Mary, and I know her faith, and I know that she believes in God, and I believe her.
You know, that's just it. She's always been such a great kid. She's about ready to have a baby. She's always been a great young lady. Mm-hmm. And so even though it seems unbelievable, this story, almost it's more unbelievable that she'd be out running around with some other young man and getting herself pregnant.
I know. But what will Joseph think?
Oh, I don't know. I like that guy. I mean,
he's a good man. And I really had high hopes for both of them.
Yeah. Well, more than what Joseph's gonna think. What about the townspeople?
That's my concern.
I mean, you know, okay, we know her. I do believe her, but will they? And if they don't, I mean, you know how things are with gossip. Even something truthful can get so warped when it hits the gossip stream.
Yeah, it's damaging.
And, you know, as a dad, I've always tried to protect her. I mean, you know what they sometimes do with a young lady who shows up pregnant. This could get violent. So I just want to look up to God and say, from one father to another, okay, if you have called her to do this, God, please protect her. Because the scandal that's going to come about, I just fear for her.
Well, you know, that he who calls is faithful, isn't he? So we must trust, just as Mary is trusting and giving her all to him, we must do the same. Have faith. He is faithful.
Amen. Amen.
You think you have problems? I'm so completely overwhelmed. I had this awesome bride-to-be, Mary. I don't care if it was an arranged marriage. I love her. And then she comes and tells me she's pregnant. And that an angel told her it was from God. How am I supposed to believe that? And then the angel came to me and confirmed what she said. And I don't know how anyone's going to believe it, but how am I... What am I supposed to do? How am I, a carpenter, the guy who can just swing a hammer and drive a few nails, supposed to raise the Son of God? What am I supposed to do when at 12 years old he is smarter than me? God, all I can do is trust you. Doesn't matter who I am, it's who you are through me. You think you have problems? I'm the king. And my kingdom is at risk. There's news in the east of this great king, the king of the Jews being born. I am the king. Those wise guys, they came through here and they thought they could fool me. They got the information they needed and they had no intention of coming back. If I ever find them again, they're going to regret it. I can't let another king be here. I don't care if the Romans are there. They made me king. But you know what? I can learn from the Romans. They know how to put down a rebellion with brutal, oppressive force. So since those wise men didn't tell me where that baby is, I know what to do. Guards, go to Bethlehem and kill all the baby boys in the area.
All we wanted to do was honor God and worship our Lord and His Son. Years we spent studying the skies, looking to the stars for sign of His coming. As soon as we saw it, we left in haste with such excitement. We went east towards the nearest palace, the palace of King Herod. Why did we not remember the prophecies? Why didn't we not turn to what the word said? For it is written, "But you, O Bethlehem, who are the one of little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel." Why did we not remember? Instead, our message led Herod to fear and jealousy of the return of this king. Ending revolt or sentencing a traitor is one thing, but to condemn all the sons of the entire nation, how can the world be so dark? And yet, God's son comes amidst it all. Who would have thought? The marvelous King of Kings, God's Son, under threat comes humbly into poverty, born of a peasant couple. This scene is just so simply pure and good. How is it possible? Truly, this must be a different king. Father, one day let your son rid us of evil. Cleanse this world of the darkness. Build a kingdom of peace. And may this boy, King of Kings, and your son, O God, save us from ourselves.
Well, we've been trying to put flesh onto this story about God made flesh. And what we've been trying to do, and hopefully successfully, is to show you that this story is intricate. And this story is not just some simple little children's tale, all filled with good and joy and peace. But there's a lot of suffering in this world. And when Jesus came to this world, there was a lot of suffering even as a result of his coming. This world is a place of suffering. But one of the greatest weapons that we have is prayer. One of the greatest things that we can do to actually participate in this story. I mean, it's amazing that God, the great creator, has actually... He offers to us this opportunity through prayer to participate in the whole story of creation and redemption and the things that he's still creating. And that by our prayers, I mean, think about this. If prayer is true, if prayer is real, and our prayers really can make a difference, we can change history with our prayers. Somebody could be healed of cancer. Somebody could get saved. Some marriage could be restored. And think of the ripple effects of that and the impact All of history can be changed because of our prayers. And that's the way God wants it. He wants us involved. He doesn't want us to be passive. And so this morning, for our prayer time, I'm not going to let you be passive. What I'm going to do is invite you to form small groups, 3 to 5 people. We're just going to take, 6-7 minutes in total. But we are going to pray. We are going to get into the story, quite literally, of what God's doing in this world. So in those small groups, I'll kind of guide you, I'll kind of lead you, I'll give you little prompts. And all you're going to do is, and let me put it this way too, pray with your eyes open, okay? And oftentimes some of our best prayers are just eyes wide open, just being honest and just saying it to God as it is, all right? So start moving. Go ahead. Move into small little groups. Maybe, you know, if somebody needs to turn a chair or something like that, get into small groups, 3 to 5 people, even better. Well, I love it how Mike put it, and I repeated in my email, but Mike said, what more appropriate thing should we be doing on Christmas morning than coming to church and worshiping him? It's his birthday. This is his day. And so, well, just a few words, because really, we wanted to make this a family-friendly kind of worship service. We weren't going to be having children's church, and so knowing the kids were going to be in here, you've already heard 5 parts of the 6-part message here, and so just a few other brief words, but kind of trying to tie it all together. We wanted to explain, then, as we've seen, that this gift, this baby born, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift ever, when he came to earth, the controversy that swirled around his coming. And so many of the people, they either responded, at least those chief characters in the Christmas story, they either responded with faith. Ah, blessed Mary, what an amazing young girl. Lord, I am just your servant. Do unto me as you have said. That kind of response by faith, knowing, she had to be sensing, knowing the scandal. We tried to think about what her parents must have been thinking, how they might have reacted. And poor Joseph, how must have floored him at first. And then even after the angel visited him, he had a decision to make, a choice to make. Do I respond with faith? Or do I say to God, this is too much. This is too hard. Because it's the same for us. God comes to us. And the gifts he talks about, St. Peter says, his promises are precious. They're amazing. And there's an invitation by God to participate in his story. To totally get involved, to be literally, not just part of his team, but to be part of his family, to be adopted by him. Oh, but God... And maybe one of the most unbelievable things is, who, me? But God, I mean, you know what I've done. Yes, he says. I know you. I created you. I've been watching. I've seen the good. I've seen the bad. But I'm calling you, he says. I want you. You are my beloved child, in whom I'm well pleased. That's God's heart towards us. And he invites us to participate in his story. How are you going to respond? I don't know. Man, it's hard. It's hard, God. It's hard to live in this world. In this world, this is an evil world. I mean, look at how Herod responded. Kill the babies? Lord, this world, it's just an awful place at times, right? And so God says, that's why I want to put my light in you, that you may reflect my light, so that you can make a difference in this story. Will you receive my invitation? Will you accept my call? Will you participate in this story? Or will you draw back? Will you respond with faith? Or will you respond with fear? No, it's not always easy following and serving God. But I encourage you, just as you saw Mary and how she responded in her faith, Mary's parents, the end of it all, we know he who calls is faithful, and he will do it. So they responded by faith. Joseph knew how tough it would be. How can a simple carpenter raise the Son of God? And yet he responded by faith. And the wise men, really, how awful it must have been for them, thinking that somehow, indirectly, they were responsible for the deaths of all those little kids. Must have just been heart-crushing, heart-wrenching. And yet that prayer that he prayed, Lord God, may this king be a different king and bring peace on earth. Well, that's what God intends. He intends to bring peace on earth through you, principally, as you participate in this, his story. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Oh, that gift is indescribable, awesome, phenomenal, life-changing. The gift of Jesus Christ. And that gift, the greatest gift ever, Christ Jesus, was the greatest demonstration of God's love. God is love. Jesus was literally love incarnate. And the amazing thing is, Jesus in us, and his love then in us, can do miraculous, amazing, phenomenal, indescribable things. Will you participate in this story? Will you respond by faith and say yes to God, or will you pull back in fear? That's the challenge that each one of us faces, and that's the challenge that I put before you today. And my prayer is that you would, each of you, respond and just allow God to do his wonderful work in and through you. May it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.